Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here again with you and to see you. Turn with me in your Bibles then to Galatians,
where we've got the fruit of the Spirit. Here we are, Galatians 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We've done that one. Joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, and we've come to kindness. So that's where we are this evening. Now, very quickly, allow me to recap. I am repeating myself, but it is really important that we get it, isn't it? That the fruit of the Spirit is not a to-do list, which once we've done it, while we're keeping this to-do list, it makes us good Christians. The fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of our spirit, is it? It's the fruit of Christ's Spirit, of Jesus' Spirit. It's his fruit of his Spirit, which he bears in us, for us. And the same Holy Spirit who bore that fruit in Jesus' life while he was here does so in us, does so in you and in me. It's the same Holy Spirit bearing the same fruit. And so we determined at the beginning, didn't we, a number of months ago now, to look at the fruit of the Spirit as it is born in the life of Jesus, our Saviour, because that's where we are to find it, that's its source, that's where we go to get it. And we've reached kindness this evening. So what does that mean? What does kindness mean, do you think? Well, Paul is obviously writing in Greek, and he uses a word which is translated as either kindness or goodness or gentleness, that sort of thing. And we are going to be looking a bit more at the synonyms around that this evening. But the thing is, if you look very quickly, that the next word in that list, after long-suffering, kindness, the next word is goodness. And so we're running a bit of a sort, it's going to be a bit tricky next week because there's so much overlap here. But because the next word is goodness and indisputably goodness, often our translations might prefer kindness or gentleness, or some of you might read the word benevolence. In our lives, Jesus expects us to bear the fruit of kindness, to be good, to be gentle, to be benevolent to people. Does that mean behave yourselves? Be nice. Be polite. Be considerate. Be moral. Well, in this instance, this isn't how Paul happens to be speaking here. The sense that Paul is trying to bring us with this word is a character. Not so much deeds and actions, but a character of benignity. A really helpful way to think about it is like this. The word means the opposite to harshness, to bitterness, to nastiness. Another very helpful thing that helped me when I was preparing this is to realize that this word is inherently a relational term. It describes someone's character in relation to other people. And so when the Lord Jesus tells us to bear this fruit, to be kind, he's not just saying be kind, he's saying be kind to one another. That's how it works out. One example of this being lived out for us is the Apostle Paul himself in 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. It's just one or two verses, I'll read this for you, where he describes his own ministry when he's among the Corinthians, and he says here, let's see, in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's a coincidence, do you, that that is where he puts by the Holy Spirit into that list. He says it's by kindness, by the Holy Spirit. Now, in a sense, we can actually stop the study here and we can carry on with the prayer meeting because, with one exception, which we will come to, we've actually exhausted now all of the occasions in the scriptures where this word, kindness, is put next to something that we do. It's interesting, isn't it? In every other occasion, this word is referring to the kindness of God, the kindness and the gentleness and the goodness of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to learn now as we go through the kindness of Christ, which is born in us as a fruit of his Holy Spirit. We're going to learn about its nature, its source, and then its practice. Okay? First of all, then its nature. What characterizes the kindness which the Holy Spirit bears in us, do you think? Well, the Psalms use this word a number of times. And when I say the Psalms, I obviously refer to a Greek translation of the Psalms, which Paul uses and used in lots of his letters. He quotes it a lot. So Paul uses a Greek translation of the Psalms that uses exactly the same word. He takes this word straight from that context. Whenever the Psalms use this word, it's in the same context of God being generous, giving out of his supply, meeting people's needs in their bodies and souls, meeting their needs, being generous, being kind. Isn't that really how we use it today, most of all? That was very kind of you to have given me that. That was kind of them to give something to someone else and so forth. So let's look at some of these verses. Psalm 68. We're just going to get an idea of the context in which this word is used to better understand the nature of this kindness. Psalm 68. And verse 10. Your congregation dwelt in it, speaking to God about his people dwelling in the land. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your kindness for the poor. So it's in his kindness that he provides for the poor. If you turn over a few pages now to Psalm 85. 85 and verse 12. Yes, the Lord will give what is kind, and our land will yield its increase. One more in Psalm 104, and this one's quite lovely because it's not talking about giving to people, but giving to animals. In Psalm 104 and verse 28, what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they, the animals on the earth, are filled with good, or filled with kind things from the Lord. So the picture painted by the Psalms is that God is kind. He is benevolent. He is generous to his creation on the earth, meeting all of our needs in our bodies and our souls. Now the fruit of the Spirit, kindness then, is God keeping our cupboards from becoming empty. The kindness of God is where he prevents our houses from falling down when we come to church, stops flooding. It's where he gives us food and lets us meet with our families at Christmas. It's where he gives us central heating and preserves our health. The kindness of God is when, in his generosity, he heals us of infections and preserves us through surgeries. He is good to all. The Psalms say, doesn't it? He is good to all. This is well captured in an email I had a couple of weeks ago from my sister and her then fiancé. They were emailing about the upsets and the turbulence caused to their wedding plans, and so they were emailing the guests to describe the next level of changes because of new restrictions and so forth. So all this upset has come to this wedding, and they email and they say this. They say, God is good in all that he does. Sometimes he gives, sometimes he takes away. In it all, he is good, and he only ever does good. We can both say this, that God has done us no wrong in all of our lives, and we want to now publicly thank him for his kindness to us. Is that all? Does the kindness of God stop at clothes and cars and homes, banoffee pie, fried chicken, whatever your favourites are? Specifically and particularly for his children, God shows his kindness in salvation, doesn't he? Let's look at some wonderful verses. We've got Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Again, the same writer here, Paul, using the same word. He says in verse 6, he's raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Psalm 31 says the same. Psalm 106 says the same. You can look those up. The fruit of the Spirit, kindness, refers not just to God keeping our cupboards full, giving us our cars and our families and our homes and our clothes. It's him giving us his Son. It's him forgiving us our sin, kindly providing for us, not just in body but in soul, giving us a Saviour, giving us a church to which we can belong forever and forever, giving us a heavenly home that we need, giving us a righteousness in the eyes of God that we need, giving us Jesus Christ and all that he means to us, the forgiveness of our sins and a home in glory. That's the kindness of God. That's the nature of this kindness that Jesus expects us to bear to one another. The meeting of all of our bodily needs, the meeting of all of our spiritual needs. Let's look then at the source. We've seen its nature. We'll see the source of this kindness. Now, of course, the source is God, isn't it? Do you remember, what was it that Jesus said in response when somebody asked him the question, approached him, they said, "Good teacher." Do you remember that? "Good teacher." And then he asked him a question. And Jesus responded and said what? "Why do you call me good? There is one who is good, and that is God." Or you might remember the teaching of John the Baptist, who said, "No one has anything on this earth that isn't first given to him by God. If there's anything good that is here, it is from God." Any kindness that we have, that we share, that we experience, that we receive, is not just derivative of his kindness, it's derivative of him. Our God is kindness. Jesus, who is the image of God, says, "I am gentle. I am good. I am kind." Now, we're aiming to see the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, in the life of Christ, aren't we? So where do we see this fruit, do you think? Jesus is filled with the Spirit without measure, isn't he? He's overflowing with the Spirit. He bears all of the fruit beyond measure. So where's the go-to text if I asked you for the kind, generous goodness of Jesus Christ? Where would you go? You can text me later. But for this evening, let's go to Psalm 21. So turn with me to Psalm 21, where we're going to see this kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, kindness in the life of Christ. Psalm 21, in the first three verses, say this. This is David now singing to God the Father about his Son, the Lord Jesus. He says, "The King," that's the Lord Jesus, "the King shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire. What he wanted, you gave him. And you have not withheld the request of his lips. Everything the Son asked for, the Father gave him. He answers every one of his prayers." And then verse 3, "For you meet him with the blessings of kindness, and you crown him," you set a crown of pure gold on his head. This is a picture of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to his Father and asking him for all of the goodness that he has to give. And the Father answers all of his prayers and fills him with the Holy Spirit beyond measure, makes the fruit of the Spirit kindness burst and overflow out of him. He crowns him with kindness. Now, this is from eternity, that the Son is forever and always asking the Father, and the Father is forever and always pouring the Holy Spirit into his Son so that he overflows with it. But is it observable in his life? If you think about it, it's easy enough, isn't it, for God in heaven, who is omnipotent and all-powerful and all-good and all-kind, to give out of his limitless supply to us needy mortals on earth. We can imagine that. But how is a pauper, a first-century carpenter, in a crack of the earth like Israel, supposed to show kindness to you and me? How do we observe this in his life? You see, he was a real natural man, but with a supernatural filling of the Holy Spirit, showing this kind gentleness and generosity of his Father to all of us and to all that he came across. Two people that tap into this very well and helped me in the preparation of this was one book, Dane Ortlund's Gentle and Lowly. I know a number of us have read it. It's very good. Do recommend that. And another one was The Heart of Christ by Thomas Goodwin, a Puritan paperback. And Ortlund is really channeling Goodwin, isn't he? If you've read both of those books, you can see how well they go together. Talking about the kindness and the gentleness of Christ towards people on earth. He gave chances, generously gave chances to the Pharisees. He generously gave chances to Judas to return, to repent. He was kind in his patience to his disciples, who were so slow to learn. Every day seeking sinners. Every day healing the sick. Every day seeking the poor and giving his money to them. Every day forgiving sin. Generous with his power, sharing it with those who needed power, who needed his strength. He was generous with his time, and he just gave and he gave and he gave. Generous with his love, sharing with those who were loveless. He had compassion and pity and kindness for lepers and for Gentiles and for legion. And not just, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, what he could spare, but his daily life, every day, all the time, looking for people to give to. To be kind to. How many times did we read that he forwent sleep? That he went through the night praying for people? That he went through times without food because he was teaching people, giving people his time and his effort, and all these things? That's the kindness of Christ in his life. That's the fruit of the Spirit in his life. And it's supernatural. You see, in Jesus, the fullness of God's kindness dwells bodily. He is the express image of the God who is all kindness. So if you want to taste this kindness of God, if you want it to burst out of you to others, if you want it to grow out of you like fruit, then Jesus is your man. Because he is the one who is filled with the kindness of God. And it overflows out of him to his believers, to his people. Go to him for it. He's the one who fills your cupboards. He's the one who keeps your roof on and feeds your children and saves your soul. If you ask him, he will fill you with his Spirit too, so that you can be generous to body and soul. This comes out very, very beautifully in Colossians 3. I'm conscious of the time, but this is worth doing. So Colossians chapter 3, where we had our reading a moment ago. Turn with me there. Before we do this, Now, Paul is talking about about the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, and he says that we've taken off something. You see, what have we taken off? In Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9, he says, take off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, and so forth, And he says, you have put off the old man. In verse 9, you've put off the old man and all of his wicked things, all of his evil deeds. And you've put on something instead. You've taken off the old man and all of his evil deeds, and you've put on the new man. In verse 10, you've put on the new man with all of his good works. And did you notice that one of the good works of Christians who have put on the new man in verse 12 is kindness? Now, Paul is quite obviously saying here, isn't he, that an unbeliever must take off the old man, put on the new man, and then, by the strength of that new man, can be kind. What does it say about that new man in verse 10? That new man that we put on is the image of none other than Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Father, who is asked the Father and is filled by the Father with all the kindness that the Father has to give. All the kindness that the Father is in Jesus Christ. And his image is what we put on when we are converted, when we turn to him in faith, when we go to Christ for all that God is and all that he has to give us. We get him and we are filled up with what he is filled up with. We are filled up with his kindness. As we saw last time and every time really, the standard of kindness that we have to show to one another in the Christian life is not from our best efforts. It's not from the flesh. It's not from the old man. It's not the kindness that the world has to show. It's Christ. He is the strength in which we are kind. And it's a jolly good job because it's a high standard, this kindness. It's a constant going out of ourselves. It's a constant pouring out of ourselves. It's giving, it's giving, it's giving. It's generous, over the top, all the time. I can't sustain that, can you? But when we put on Christ, he is the strength by which we can do that. Now, I said we'd look at practice, and we're running very short on time, so let me just rush through this very quickly. Let me ask you, are you kind? Would you call yourself a kind person? Bearing the fruit of the Spirit, it's not being polite and moral and friendly. If it was, then you can all put your feet up, because Heath is nothing if it's not nice and polite and friendly. Now, the standard is much, much higher than that. We must be kind to one another and gentle, like God is towards us in Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily our deeds, it's our character to one another. That we must be generous to one another, body and soul. We must pour ourselves out for one another. We must pray for one another like he prays for us. We are required by this passage in Galatians 5 to walk in step with the Spirit, to love one another like Jesus loves us. We are to give to one another like the Lord Jesus gives to us, seeing to our needs, body and soul, pouring ourselves out for one another. We are to be kind to one another like Jesus is kind to us. It means going above and beyond. It means giving. It means being kind to the unkind, loving the unlovely. It means being gracious and generous to the undeserving. So let me ask you again, do you think you're kind? Are you generous to body and to soul around you? Are you kind to others like Jesus is kind to you? It's hard, isn't it? Just one more, and then we'll finish. This one's Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, the same writer, Paul, using the same word for kindness in verse 4, where he's talking here about the kindness of Christ. He says, do you despise the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. What he's saying here is that this kindness of Christ is to lead sinners who are estranged from him to repentance and reconciliation. So if we are to be kind to one another like Jesus is kind to us, then when someone has earned our grumps and has earned our cold shoulders, it is not kind, it is not Christ-like, it is not the fruit of the Spirit to neglect them in body or soul. It is not kind to pray for them and then ignore them on Sunday. It is not kind to give the civilities, hello, how are you, how are the kids, and then not pray for them in the week. Someone bearing the fruit of the Spirit kindness does not write off anyone else. But the door for reconciliation is always wide open, and more than that, they are kind to that person for the purpose of reaching that reconciliation. We'll have to cut it short there to close because we're short on time. We need to pray. So let me just finish by saying this, that Christ is filled with the kindness of the Father. He is given to us by the Father as a kind and a generous gift. Jesus himself overflows with the Father's kindness, and he pours it down onto us who believe in him, his children. He pours it down onto us in the Holy Spirit. Thus, we are filled up ourselves with his kindness, and we overflow with the kindness of God to one another, meeting one another's needs, generously seeing to our bodies and our souls. The fruit of the Spirit, kindness, is the kindness of God in Jesus Christ to us through the Holy Spirit for others. I'm going to just read a few verses from Titus. I'll quickly pray and then we'll pretend to sing. Or if you're at home, you can actually sing. So Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 8, just a few verses here. For we ourselves were once also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son to us. And we bless you, Father, that when we receive him, we find that he has been filled up to overflowing by you in your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for this wellspring of kindness that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. Please cure us of our addiction of looking for this kindness in ourselves or anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. Teach us to be kind like he is kind, to give of ourselves to one another, to love one another as he has loved us first. Father, this is a tall order. This is a hard thing to ask for. This is enormous that we should love one another like Christ loves us. And that is why we ask you, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we should walk in step with the Holy Spirit, that we should truly be like Christ to one another. Amen.